Treat yourself to the meal you deserve and have your favorite restaurants come to you with DoorDash. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code LOCKEDON.
Yeah. I wanna baller like the Wizards. Yeah, you know what I mean. When I'm blue, I'm on the net. Girl, she was shot for the team. I was in high school with dreams. Now I'm almost looking clean. Teaching game like a dean. Coach all these girls to a ring. I wanna ball out like the Wizards. Yeah, you know what I mean. When I'm blue, I'm on the net. Girl, she was shot for the team. I was in high school with dreams. Now I'm almost looking clean. Teaching game like a dean. Coach all these girls to a ring.
Hey guys, welcome to the Locked On Wizards podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Troy Halliburton. And joins me on the other line, the lead writer over at Ridiculous Upside, the best G League site on the internet, Mr. Dakota Schmidt. How are you doing today, sir?
I am doing good and Troy, I'm, you know, excited to be on the Locked On Wizards podcast, and I'm especially excited to talk G League basketball because as the time that we're recording, we're just a little more than 24 hours away from the first games of the season tipping off.
Yeah, I'm excited to cover some G League basketball. I got my first taste of G League basketball last year covering the Capital City Go-Go in their inaugural season. And so what I learned about the G League is that it's full of very, very talented basketball players and really even more so talented people just around the industry. So you have talented coaches, you have talented scouts, you have talented people who are, you know, working their way through this industry. And I very much respect everything that you're doing. That's why I'm very appreciative of you taking the time to come on this podcast and talk some D-League hoops.
Yeah, most definitely. And I agree with you on how there are talented people across the D-League, you know, not just on the court, but coaches, executives, and even, you know, broadcasters, and a lot of those coaches, executives, people in all categories have also, you know, moved on to the NBA or, you know, big-time college levels. Like Jerry Stackhouse, the former head coach of Raptors 5, he's now the head coach of Vanderbilt, who are, of course, part of the SEC, which is one of the best conferences in college basketball. Trayshawn Langdon is now the GM of the New Orleans Pelicans a year after he had the same role with the Long Island Nets. There's also, you know, Elton Brand, who was with the Delaware Bluecoats, now he's with the Philadelphia 76ers. So, yeah, there's talented across the G League that have gone on to do big things.
Exactly, exactly. So we're going to talk about some of those people today. And hopefully in the future, you know, the listeners out here can say that, oh, I heard this name on Locked On Wizards podcast, you know, a year or two ahead of the curve. And so when you look at what the Raptors 905 did a couple of years ago when they won their G League championship and they had a core of, you know, Pascal Siakam and Fred VanVleet, you know, this development stuff really matters, and people are realizing that, you know, you can develop players and find lots of talented players and you know, turn those players into a championship-level team.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And also another great example of that are the San Antonio Spurs. They developed Murray and, you know, Derek White down in their D-League affiliate in the Austin Spurs. Actually, Derek White helped lead Austin to a G League title in 2017-18, and, you know, both of those guys have been doing good things up in San Antonio. So, yeah, the G League has shown ability to really help NBA teams get to develop really solid role players or even stars like Pascal Siakam.
Exactly, exactly. Well, you know, this is the Locked On Wizards podcast, so we're going to talk about some of the players that the Wizards are trying to develop through their G League team, the Capital City Go-Go. And one of those players that I wanted to highlight is Chris Chioza. So Chris Chioza is a very interesting player from my perspective because know, last year he went undrafted out of the University of Florida, and, you know, he signed an Exhibit 10 contract with the Capital City Go-Go, or with the Wizards, and meaning he played with the Go-Go last year, and he had a fantastic season. He led the G League in total assists for the season, and, you know, by the end of the year, he earned himself a call-up to the Houston Rockets. And you know, it didn't work out with Houston over the summer. You know, they have a lot of, you know, cap maneuvering that my guy Daryl Morey is doing. But Chris Chioza, he's proven himself to be a very solid NBA caliber point guard. What are your thoughts on Chris Chioza, his season last year, and what do you expect for him coming up this year as a two-way player for the Wizards / Capital City Go-Go?
Last year, Chris Chioza is somebody that struggled a lot during the first month of his pro career with the Capital City Go-Go. But as the rookie year went on, his numbers improved. He became a lot more efficient from beyond the arc to the point of, you know, ending his season shooting 40% from three. I also believe he's one of the best facilitators in the G League. His numbers last year were outstanding from that perspective. And, yeah, I had a lot of fun watching him develop over the course of last season. And I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do, you know, this year as an actual part of the Washington Wizards roster compared to just being, you know, an affiliate Exhibit 10 guy last year.
Yeah, and I'm excited to see what he can do this year. And I think that it's very interesting that that he signed the two-way contract with the Wizards. I was skeptical of him signing the two-way contract just because of the financial parameters of signing the deal. And he got to see firsthand how he could make, you know, just as much, if not more, money by signing an Exhibit 10 deal and hopefully getting an NBA call-up during the 10-day contract season. And so it surprised me a little bit that he ended up taking the two-way contract. But what I really think that he did was he made a decision that, you know, Washington is invested in him and that he sees that he can be a part of this franchise and that it would be better for him to, you know, take that two-way deal and be a part of the franchise and actually, you know, play NBA minutes. And as we saw early in the season before Isaiah Thomas came back from his injury, you know, Chris Chioza was actually, you know, a part of the Wizards rotation, playing backup point guard minutes. So, you know, this is a guy who, you know, he knows his standing and where he is in the league. And I'm just excited the fact that, you know, he signed a two-way deal in general.
Yeah, and I think one of the big reasons why Chioza signed 2A is his comfortability with the Washington Wizards. You know, he was with the team, you know, last year during training camp, you know, got to understand the organization works, the system that the team runs, and of course, you know, with the Capital City Go-Go, they, you know, all G League teams basically run a carbon copy of what the NBA team runs. So he had a, you know, a chance over the course of around 30 games. He played with the Go-Go before signing with the Houston Rockets. He had that time to get a better understanding of how the Wizards and Capital City Go-Go, how their system runs. And I think his comfortability with that and, you know, not having to learn a new system, not having to, you know, try to fit in with a new team is one of the big reasons why he decided, you know, to sign a two-way rather than, you know, go an Exhibit 10 route.
Yeah, and I think it really comes down to familiarity. And just like you said, I can attest because I interviewed a Capital City Go-Go head coach Ryan Richmond on this very podcast. And, you know, they do. They run the same stuff that the Wizards run. You know, there's uniformity across the entire organization when it comes to their playbook. And of course, you know, Ryan Richmond, he takes it upon his liberty to, you know, run different variations of things. And trust me, Todd Brooks is watching, and if he sees something that Ryan is doing and he likes, you know, the Wizards, they can take that and run that. But I think the uniformity across the organization was definitely an appealing factor for Chris Chioza, and the reason why he decided to stay within that organization. So, you know, I'm happy that he's going to be here, and I'm excited to watch him play. But I think that we just started talking about a conversation that I wanted to dive in a little bit more about the differences between the two-way contract and the Exhibit 10 contract, the different mechanisms that NBA teams can use to get players to play for their G League affiliates. And I just wanted you, as an expert on the subject matter, to kind of break down for the listeners, what are some of the main differences between an Exhibit 10 contract and a two-way contract? And in a hypothetical situation, if you were a player, what contract would you prefer?
The biggest difference between a two-way and an Exhibit 10 contract is I have a two-way. While a player may spend a lot of their season in the D-League, they can only be called up by one team. So Cristiosa can only be called up by the Washington Wizards, compared to a guy on an Exhibit 10 deal. While he may be getting a bonus from that particular NBA team to spend a certain amount of time down in the D-League, he can sign with anybody. For example, Phil Booth, who was with the Wizards during training camp, got signed to an Exhibit 10. While he will be getting paid to play with the Capital City Go-Go, at any time a team like the Bucks, the Suns, Warriors, whomever, can sign them up to a 10-day or another two-way.
Yeah, no, and I think that's something that's very interesting to me. And I look at the situation last year where you had a guy like Jordan McRae, who was on a two-way contract with the Wizards. And, you know, he was by far one of the best players in the G League last year. You know, for my money, he could have been G League MVP last year. He was a G League All-Star. But, you know, he was a guy who 100% would have been called up by an NBA team during the 10-day contract period because he has such a specific skill set when it comes to scoring the basketball. But because he was on that two-way contract, he could really only sign with the Wizards. And that's why I think that you have all different types of, I wouldn't say backdoor deals, but under the table deals that go on between players and agents. And where I knew a guy like Jordan McRae, I just knew that the way that he performed last year for the Capital City Go-Go on the two-way contract, that the team would reward him with a NBA contract for this season. And so, you know, it's not something they just gave away. He absolutely earned that contract. But I think that, you know, we really have to look at the relationship between the players, the teams, and the agents and determining, you know, who accepts a two-way or who accepts the Exhibit 10 or, you know, how all of this stuff works out because you never know what is going on and what type of handshake deals are going on between organizations.
Use two ways in two different ways. One way is for depth purposes. For example, Washington last year, they had Jordan McRae, you know, a veteran, play a lot in the G League, play some in the NBA, play a lot overseas. They wanted him on that two-way deal, you know, just in case somebody gets injured, they have an experienced guy that can come in. This year, the Brooklyn Nets have Timothy Luwalo-Cabarro and Henry Ellenson on their, you know, two-way deals. Both guys spend a lot of time up in the NBA. In comparison, there are some G League teams like the OKC Blue who have Luka Doncic, who was a one-and-done prospect when undrafted. He's a developmental option that the Thunder want to train and trying to make his game progress with the Blue before they put him up with the OKC Thunder in, you know, 2020-21 or, you know, beyond.
Yeah, so just as you said, so some teams can use it as extra depth. So they use it as literally their, you know, 16th and 17th roster spots. And you know, those players can absolutely come in and contribute when you have injuries or, you know, I know load management is a hot topic in the NBA right now. So let's say you want to load management a player and you or a player or two, you can use your two-way contract players for depth. But then, as you said, other teams could use them as, you know, just really try to hide players. You know, you're hiding developmental players. So, you know, a thing of the past used to be the draft and stash, you know, and now you could stash a player, you know, within your own organization and have them in your building working out with your teams and, you know, being a part. It's basically like a nice red shirt year almost.
Yeah. And two-way guys don't, you know, like you said, players on two-way deals are, you know, 16th and 17th roster spots. So they won't, you know, count against the 15-man roster like some, you know, past draft and stash guys. So it really depends on how that particular NBA team wants to plan out their 2019-20 season and how they want to, you know, organize their roster for that year, because plans change, you know, on a year in, year out basis.
Yep. And I think that, you know, this is something that, because the two-way contract is it's only been around for 2 years now, I think that this is, you know, a very fluid situation in that, you know, everybody, all these entities, when I talk about the players, the agents, and the team, they're all trying to, you know, navigate this in real time. So, you know, it'll be forever changing, you know, how teams move and how they operate with this. But I think that really in the grand scheme of things, big picture here, I think that this only makes the G League better and more entertaining because, you know, you have, you know, NBA players or, you know, young developing players who, you know, the teams can now assign them to their G League franchise, and, you know, they're getting good run, they're getting good minutes. And so I know a lot of people say the biggest part of, you know, development as a basketball player is actually going out there and playing. And so just as you said, the G League season is getting ready to kick off. Who are some of the players that you are most looking forward to seeing for this season?
We talk about outside of the go-go roster?
Outside of the – just G League in general, outside of the go-go roster.
Okay. I have – let's separate it into two categories. Two guys I'm looking forward to seeing and guys on standard.
Okay. Who are some of the two-way guys that you're looking forward to seeing?
One guy I'm really looking forward to watching that just signed a two-way deal with the Orlando Magic a few days ago is B.J. Johnson. He plays college ball at LaSalle, and last year, in his rookie year with the Lakeland Magic, he was an outstanding perimeter shooter. He's a 6'7 forward that shot, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but like 44% from three. He got called up towards the end of the season with the Atlanta Hawks. He had one good game where he had like 10 points and four from four shooting and three from three from beyond the arc. He was, you know, outstanding that one game, but of course, like a lot of late season call-ups, they don't, you know, say what the team wants. But other two-way guys, like a lot of basketball Twitter, I'm looking forward to seeing and what Taco Fall does, both with the Boston Roll pairing with 5'10 point guard Tremont Waters. It could be a lot of fun to watch. One, this is going to sound really silly, but one set that I really want the main Red Claws to utilize just for comedic purposes is to basically you remember a few years ago when Nate Robinson was in the G League and he ran under the legs of Eddie Tavares.
Right, I do remember that.
I want to see the Bay Red Claws do that with Waters and Taco Fall.
Hey, I'm right there with you. You know what? Sign me up for any Taco Fall content from now until eternity. I mean, the guy is he's just content gold, man. And the biggest thing is that he seems to be such a great guy that he seems to be deserving of all of this attention and praise that he's getting.
Yeah, I back when he was in high school, like Bleacher Report did a video on him, and he wants to be more Steve Jobs than LeBron James. Like, I don't think he'll be in the NBA line just in terms of the fact that he wants to do a lot more with his life than basketball. And going from 7'6" guy to a 5'10" player is Chris Clemens, who's on a two-way deal with the Houston Rockets. Clemens had a few games, actually in preseason, where he just tore it up in the few minutes that he's in. Dude is just has unlimited range, fantastic handles, and is just a joy to watch. And I am just looking forward to seeing him play with the RGB Vipers, because he's on a two-way deal with the Houston Rockets. I think he could be one of the most exciting players in the D-League this season, and somebody that a lot of listeners will probably be seeing highlights of on social media.
Yeah. No, I like Clemens. I got a chance to watch a couple of those preseason games you were talking about, and he definitely popped off on the screen. The Rockets, they're very good at selecting diamond in the rough talent. I know one of the guys who worked up through their system, he actually used to be a Wizard, Daniel House. He played for the Vipers last year, and he ended up getting called up by the Rockets. I think they were definitely high to him for financial purposes. But, this is a guy we're talking about who was in their playoff rotation and is now a starter for them. So, the Rockets are, they're a team, the Rockets / Vipers, they're teams that, really are, they take this development game very seriously. And, I think that it's something that a lot of basketball fans should probably take notice of.
Yeah, in terms of guys that aren't on two-way deals, I'm kind of going – there's one rookie that I'm kind of going a little deep on, and that's Rayshon Tucker. He's a 6'3", 6'4", guard that played with the mid-major last year. Dude is an amazing dunker and also shot better than 40% from beyond the arc. Just based on, that alone, just based on his athleticism and ability to shoot, I think he could be a potential call-up two-way candidate if he does go with the Wisconsin Herd, who are the Bucks affiliate. In terms of guys that could be potential MVP candidates in the G League, there are a few names that come to mind. One is Yasiin Mateen, who's going to be with the Maine Redclaws, who are the Celtics affiliate. He put up fantastic numbers last year with the Sioux Falls Skyforce as a two-way guy with the Miami Heat. He's available to any team now. He's on an exhibit time contract. Race Balding, who was a part of the Rockets roster last year. Funny that we had a little conversation about the Rockets just a few moments ago. He's going to be the RGB Vipers again. In a similar vein to Yasiin Mateen as an affiliate player, he's a guy that can really shine on, both ends of the court. He's, a two-way player. That's not a two-way player, if you can kind of understand what I'm talking about. He is really good at protecting the rim. The Vipers were he was with the Dallas Mavericks last year and played a lot of the Texas Legends. And with the Legends, the team was a lot better defensively when he was on the court compared to off. Good, on-off ratio. He's also on the off end, real good passer, solid role man, has a solid mid-range touch, and he's only 22, so he still has a lot of upside as a player, and I think he can really produce well this year with the RGB Vipers. And one last player that's on regular D-League contract and can be called up by any team is Walter Lemon Jr. I have been a fan of this guy's game for years, but he really stepped it up a notch last year when he was with the Windy City Bulls. His presence basically turned that organization around. They were struggling. Then once Lemon came, the team went on a 12-game winning streak, ended up going to the finals the first time in franchise history. And Lemon is that explosive guard that can get to the rim, at least from the perspective of the D-League, whenever he wanted to. He's also a fantastic facilitator. He averaged like 8 assists per game with the Windy City Bulls on a really good assist-turnover ratio. And towards the end of the season, he got called up by Chicago and honestly was one of the best players at the roster last year, which is not much of a compliment with the way that the Bulls were last year. But I think that Lemon, from my perspective, is the favorite to win G-League MVP, and he's a player that a lot of fans would really love when they, you know, get a chance to watch him play this year. And he's going to be with the Fort Wayne Maddox, by the way, who are the Pacers affiliate.
Okay, Dakota, you're really helping out with the Capital City Go-Go ticket sales here. Because, I mean, you've just listed a thorough list of players that the Washington, D.C. basketball fans can go check out with the Capital City Go-Go when they play all of these teams that are going to come in to their new arena down in Southeast Washington, D.C. I mean, the home of the WNBA Tampa and Washington Mystics. So, you know, you've really just described, like, a lot of guys. Like, I mean, when Walter Lemon comes into town, like, I mean, people need to go buy the ticket. If Chris Clemens comes into town, Taco Fall comes into town, I think that, you know, people are going to be excited to go check out some G League basketball games, man. You're doing a great service here with this thorough scouting report.
And one player that I want to mention that is going to be in the Capital City Go-Go that I think fans would love, that fans within the D.C. area would love, is Jalen Jones. This is going to be his fourth season, so I guess he's technically a veteran, but in his first two seasons in the league, he was one of the league's better forwards due to being a potential 2010 guy on a night-in, night-out basis, and he did a lot of that due to athleticism, being able to explode to the rim, get to the free throw line on a consistent basis, and he was actually my MVP in the 2016-17 season when the league was still the D-League. He has had a few stints. He had a two-way stint with the Pelicans in 2017-18, a very brief two-way run with the Cleveland Cavaliers last year before, you know, playing overseas and making more money than he would as a standard G League player. But I am excited to see what Jalen Jones can do this year, especially working with, you know, such a good facilitator in Chris Chioza.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what Jones can do. And I'm going to add one more name on top of that who I don't know if a lot of national people know a lot about information about this player. But Garrison Matthews is the other two-way contract player for the Capital City Go-Go. And when I tell you that I left Wizards training camp thoroughly impressed by his skill set and his ability to shoot the basketball, I think that he has a special gift. And the biggest thing for me about Matthews is the fact that he's 6'5". And, you know, I'm going to say, I mean, he's not a sneaky athlete. He's a good athlete. He's a really, really good athlete. And, you know, he's more than just a shooter, but he's also a sharpshooter. He's a guy who I watched in training camp. You know, he comes off of screens and he takes three pointers. It's almost like a Kyle Korver-ish, where, you know, he could be leaning to the left, he could be leaning to the right, off balance, one foot. It doesn't matter. If he gets into, you know, his shooting pocket and he gets a good form on it, you know, there's a good percentage chance that shot is going in. So I think that he's a player who, you know, a lot of people who cover the G League nationally may not even know about, because he went to such a small school, Lipscomb College in Tennessee. And, you know, he was literally the first player to ever play in an NBA game from Lipscomb. But, again, he already played in an NBA game. He was in the rotation early in the season while the Wizards were dealing with their injuries to Troy Brown Jr. and C.J. Miles on the wing. Garrison Matthews actually got some playing time then. And so, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do. So, you know, when we talk about a core of Garrison Matthews and Jael Jones and Chris Chioza, along with guys like Admiral Schofield and Justin Robinson, who are were second round draft picks, undrafted respectively. The Capital City Go-Go look like they might be a formidable opponent for G League teams coming up for this season. Where do you think the Capital City Go-Go will fall in the pecking order of the power rankings of the G League season so far? And who are the teams do you think will be at the top of the G League season that the Capital City Go-Go will have to, you know, try to unseat to get to that level, that next level they want to get to?
Man, that's a really good question. I haven't had a chance to see a lot of the opening night rosters for these G League teams because some squads haven't released them at the time I was started to focus on this interview. But a few teams that come to mind are the Wisconsin Herd. They have a really solid two-way duo in Frank Mason and, you know, Cam Reynolds. If you're a college basketball fan listening to this, you probably know about Frank Mason. He was the Naismith College Basketball Player of the Year in 2016-17 when he was with Kansas. Cam Reynolds is a really, really solid 3-and-D forward. Besides that duo, the Herd have Dylan Adams, who is an explosive shooter. Rayshon Tucker, the player I, you know, recently mentioned.
Are the Herd going to have Jamario Jones on their roster too?
Yes, they will. That's the player I was thinking about. That's the player that was on the tip of my tongue. And man, Jamario Jones is one of my favorite players last year. He is such a fun player to watch. He's an unconventional player because he's a 6'5 guard that focuses on rebounding, and he's amazing at rebounding, and he's a really solid defender. And he was able to prove that last year with the LA Lakers when they were, you know, a mess after, you know, LeBron James was off for the season. And I honestly think that Jones is another call candidate just based on his defense and his tremendous ability to snag rebounds for a player's size.
I was impressed. Jamario Jones was also in Wizards training camp. He was one of their last cuts. So I was impressed with him, and I felt like he should have gotten more of an opportunity to be with the Wizards. But, you know, roster numbers were not in his favor here. But, you know, I knew that, you know, he went through waivers and he signed, you know, his deal with the Bucks, his Exhibit 10 contract to play with the Herd. You know, I believe in Jamario Jones as a player, and I'm 100% confident that he will get an NBA call-up at some point this season.
And the Maine Red Claws are another D-League team that will be that would be really tough to beat. Like I mentioned before, Taco Fall, Shame on Waters, that's going to be a really entertaining two-way duo in themselves. Yancey Mateen, who I think can be a candidate for MVP. They also have rookies like maybe Romeo Langford coming in from the Boston Celtics. And I think the biggest team to beat in the G League this season are the RGV Vipers, who, of course, are the affiliate for the Houston Rockets, who we may be talking about their relationship later on in this podcast. But the RGV Vipers, their roster is just outstanding in terms of the G League, especially with some of the players that the Rockets have signed to them for the start of the G League season. Some of the big-time players that they have are counting the assignees are Gary Clark, Jaren Blossom Game, Chris Clements, Michael Frazier, Isaiah Hartenstein, Kerwin Roach, who was a really talented player with the Texas Longhorns, Ray Spalding, who I mentioned before, Brandon Sampson, who's a really solid 3D wing, Sedarius Thornwell, who spent his first two seasons with the LA Clippers, and
yep. I did not know that Darius Thorwell was playing for the Vipers. That's news to me. So that's amazing though. That's a lot of talent though. Those are a lot of really good basketball players. Talented basketball players. I'm actually scared But also at the same time, I'm definitely bookmarking the Capital City Go-Go Rio Grande Vipers game on my schedule, because it sounds like that's going to be must-watch TV.
Most definitely.
Yeah. So, all right. So now you've given me a couple of teams that I should be looking forward to. I hate to
I forgot
the podcast and its entertainment purposes, but I'm going to have to ask you to make a prediction. If from your seat right now, who would you predict to win the 2019-2020 G League Championship?
It's tough. That's a tough question to answer in November, because there's so many variables in terms of the G League. Like, any really solid player can get called up at a moment's notice. And with a team like the RGB Vipers, who have so much talent, their roster could look totally different on Christmas than it does now. But I think they're a team that's going to be really tough to beat. A team that I didn't mention in that spiel are the Fort Wayne Mad Ants, who I believe have the one of the best backcourt duos with the Walter Lemon Jr., who I mentioned a few moments ago, and also Naz Michelon, who has been one of the more consistent, solid guards in the G League. You know, with that backcourt in itself, I think Fort Wayne can, you know, go far in the G League.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I'm looking forward to I got a chance to see the Mad Ants play last year, and, you know, they definitely play hard. I know that. I'm looking forward to, you know, seeing what the West Coast teams could do. You know, you have the Santa Cruz team. You know, that was the team that Kendrick Nunn played on last year. And it was crazy that, you know, I talked to a lot of my G League contacts, and, you know, a lot of people are kind of surprised that a guy who didn't even start for his G League team last year is able to come out and, you know, drop 20 and 30 points in NBA games. So I think that really goes to the statement of what we were talking about earlier about, you know, how there is so much talent spread throughout the G League, and you really never know where the talent is going to come from. And it really also goes to the fact that a lot of these, you know, jobs when it comes to professional sports really depend on fit. So, you know, you have guys who get within organizations like a Chris Chioza, and, you know, he likes it here because it's a good fit for him. And, you know, this is a place where, you know, he can probably bank out a good career for 3 or 4 years, you know, just by being here and being loyal to the franchise and the franchise being loyal to him. It's a, you know, a mutually beneficial relationship. So if you had to pick right now, who do you think would be the surprise player to come out of the G League this year and maybe not have an impact this year, but maybe who would be the next Kendrick Nunn in your best guess, a guy who not a lot of people are talking about, just a guy you watch G League games and you think is very talented. And, you know, maybe if he gets in the right position, he might be able to do something one day, too.
Are we talking about guys that are on 2As or available to any NBA team?
I'm going to talk about guys that are available to any NBA team. Because as we talked about in this podcast, the 2-way guys are already, you know, they're already married to their NBA franchises. So it's no point of looking for diamonds in the rough when, you know, they already, you know, technically have their rights. Belong to another franchise. A guy who is not on a two-way, who, you know, some NBA – and you know what's crazy about this, Dakota, is that every year it's always going to be somebody. We may not know who it is, but there's always going to be a player who nobody knows who's going to come out of nowhere and, you know, maybe could do something.
Okay, guys, I mentioned – rookies and guys that have experience. In regards to rookies, talking about guys that are on standard G League contracts so they can be picked up by anybody. He's currently injured right now, but I eventually think that when he's healthy and playing, he could be an immediate stud at the G League level. And that's a center, Sagaba Kanate. I think I just butchered his name, but he was a really solid in college with West Virginia, was one of the best shot blockers, one of the best overall defenders in college basketball. He's a 6'9", 240, 250 pound, a big who has shown an ability to go up to the perimeter and defend against, you know, diamond guards, but also solid post-up threats, able to, you know, snag offensive rebounds. And before he suffered a season-ending injury, he started to knock down three-pointers at a consistent rate. It was a small sample size, but I'm optimistic that he can, you know, do it at the NBA level, because he's always been a really solid free throw shooter. So the mechanics are there in regards to Sagaba. I mentioned earlier Rayshon Tucker. I'm a big fan of his game. I think he can do a lot with the Wisconsin Herd. Two players that are going to be playing with each other on the Austin Spurs this year. Dedrick Lawson and Dalton Holmes. Dedrick Lawson is probably a well-known name to fans that watch college basketball, because he was an elite player last year with the Kansas Jayhawks. He's a really smart, well-rounded offensive player, solid shooter, able to, you know, get to the rim. Dalton Holmes, he is a guy that played with a small D2 school, and it was known as Point Loma. Holmes is going to be one of the most intriguing players to keep an eye on over the course of the G-League season to see how his game can transfer from D2 to the NBA. He was an outstanding shooter in D2 play. He shot 44% from beyond the arc, I believe. Really solid athleticism for a D2 6'6 wing. I think he could be a potential call candidate. And D2 guys over the course of the last few years, funny enough, have been getting more NBA opportunities. Over the past few years, we've seen guys like Jalen Morris, who was signed by the Hawks in 2017-18, was on a two-way deal with Milwaukee last year. Hayward Highsmith, he spent some time on the Philadelphia 76ers roster as a two-way player last year in 2018-19. So we're seeing a lot more former D2 guys produce at the D-League level and eventually get called up to the NBA. And in regards to this season, I think Dalton Holmes has the best chance, along with the guy, Amir Hinton, who's going to be with the Knicks team, as a former Division II player that will have the best chance of maybe sticking on an NBA team this year.
Yeah, no, I think those are all very good names. And you know what? I think that, honestly, Dakota, the listeners to the Locked On Wizards podcast have just gotten a lot smarter when it comes to basketball today. I think that, you know, it's very evident that, you know, you have an expertise when it comes to G League basketball. And you know, I think like as we've been talking about throughout this podcast, you know, this is the future of professional basketball in America. And, you know, the G League is going to be here to stay, and it only keeps getting better and better. And so you've really laid out, you know, a group of players, a group of teams that the fans can get behind and really support when it comes to getting into G League basketball. So I really want to just thank you for taking the time out to come on and talk about it. And it really, I want to ask you, how did you get into the love of G League basketball?
Man, it goes all the way back to 2012, the fall of 2012. After I graduated from high school, I've always had a love for writing. Going back to when I was in middle school, I actually wrote, when I was like 11, 12, I wrote some movie scripts that I'm kind of embarrassed by when I think past to that point. But I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do after graduating high school, like, you know, a lot of people do. And I always had a love for writing and have always had a love for basketball. And I kind of thought at that point that, okay, there's so many people that are trying their hands at NBA writing, whether, you know, they're working. At that point, more people were actually working for newspapers or, you know, big time NBA sites like, you know, ESPN, or, you know, there are a lot of more team blogs at the point, you know, SI and all those places were, you know, still working in full year. So I thought maybe I can find a niche. Maybe I can find my own niche. And I kind of discovered it was the D League at that point. And I actually, at that point, I had a past relationship with the D League because back when I was in ninth grade, there was this website called Ucaster, where people, it was kind of revolutionary at that point. It was in 2008, 2009, and people could do like live streaming podcasts. They could do like live little radio shows, and also like do I don't know how legal it was at that point, but they could also do like pretend to do like live play-by-play for, you know, different games that were going on. And
that's amazing.
I did play-by-play games of D-League games. The streaming service at that time was on the actual site. Did move over to YouTube for another few years. Now it's on Facebook, ESPN Plus, all those services. I did play-by-play games for a four-way Madden game. I forgot who they were playing against, but it was a four-way Madden game, and I believe that a player on the opposing team was Antoine Walkers. So it might have been the Idaho Stampede who have since moved away. But I was doing a four-way Madden game, four-way Madden, and I believe Idaho Stampede game back when I was like 14 years old. And that's when I kind of started to know what the D-League was, because my only exposure to that league was like on older versions of like NBA 2K, like in the My Player mode. At that time, like players would go play with D-League teams, and that and doing like play-by-play games are my exposure to the D-League then. Then after graduating high school in 2012, I looked at the D-League again and saw that the games are going to be streaming live on YouTube, that more teams are coming in, and I thought, maybe I can start doing this. And it's been, wow, it's been 7 years, and I'm still doing it. So I guess something about the D-League has caught on to me that I'm still doing it 7 years later, which is crazy in my mind. I'm 25, so I've spent a lot of my life writing about the G League.
But you know what? That's one of my favorite books is Malcolm Gladwell's 10,000 Hours. And so he says that in order to be Malcolm Gladwell's Outlier. And in the book, he talks about how in order to be an expert on any subject matter, you have to really spend about 10,000 hours. And so it sounds as if you put in your work, your 10,000 hours, and, you know, this is why that you're considered to be an expert when it comes to G League basketball. And so you're one of the very talented people who are surrounding the G League game. So, you know, I'm sure that, you know, you're doing it for the passion, but this will obviously lead you to very great things. And so our listeners will be very fortunate to have listened to you early on in your career. And I greatly, like I said, I appreciate you for coming on. I appreciate you for having the passion that you do about G League basketball. And, you know, it makes a difference. I hope to have you on again so we can do like a mid-season review or end-of-season review. You know, let's have you be the G League expert of the Locked On Wizards podcast.
I would absolutely love to be back on the show. I've had been a lot of fun talking G League ball with you. Actually, G League writing is a lonely experience because there's not that community like NBA Twitter. So any time to talk about the G League Guy podcast is always a pleasure, and I've had a lot of fun tonight.
Yes, yes. So, Dakota, I want to give you an opportunity right now to kind of plug your work and let the listeners know where they can find you on social media and where they can find your writing.
My personal Twitter account is at Dakota_Schmidt. I do some daily tweeting on there. I tweet a lot about the Bucks because they're my favorite NBA team. So there's a lot of nights where I'm just getting all giddy and excited about whatever Giannis is doing or whatever. And I also do like a lot of personal tweets as somebody that's dealt with depression for a lot of my life. But so yeah, at Dakota_Schmidt personal at Riddick, RIDIC upside on Twitter. If you want to follow the site, I manage that Twitter account there. So if you want to follow me personal, it's at Dakota_Schmidt. For G League thoughts, it's at RIDIC upside, Riddick upside on Twitter.
That's fantastic, man. So all of you listening to the Locked On Wizards podcast, you go follow Dakota and follow Ridiculous Upside and just expand your basketball palette, expand your knowledge, and just get smarter as fans so that we can all have smarter discussions on the internet. How does that sound to you, Dakota?
That sounds great.
All right, man. I appreciate you for coming on, man. And we're going to reconvene and do this sometime again in the future.
Well, definitely.
All right. Thank you, Dakota.
Anytime.
Like Gilbert Arenas. Now I'm chilling back, giving advice. I buy my girl shit, it don't matter the price. They see that I'm taking, they try getting fast. Label money, I just tell in advance. I ain't cheating, I'm just trying to dance. She just trying to have me up in the trance. I'm in a struggle like fuck it. They just trying to make some buckets. Love when I slapped on my ones, but it bounced like a ball when I struck it. So if you ever see a real nigga like me, just let them live and just be how it be. Go to the club with them two in your seat. With a J, we be on the same team.
I wanna baller like the Wizards. Yeah, you know what I mean. When I'm blowing on the net, girl showing shots for the team. I was in high school with dreams, now I'm almost looking clean. Teaching game like a dean, coach all these girls to a ring. I want a ball, I like the Wizards, yeah, you know what I mean. When I'm blowing on the net, girl showing shots for the team. I was in high school with dreams, now I'm almost looking clean. Teaching game like a dean, coach all these girls to a ring.